Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. I'm Angela. You typically find me at the Harrisonburg campus. I'm on staff there. But boy, does East Rock have a really sweet spot in my heart. I love it, and I love what the Lord is doing here. I'm so grateful. And thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being a part of this. God is up to good things. So as you see, we still have a hurdle here this morning. And Pastor Jared has been sharing with us over the past few weeks about the hurdles to our faith, sharing and asking us to really search our hearts for the potential hurdles in our own lives and how they're impeding us. Are we attempting, he would ask us, are we attempting to live a life saved before we even give our lives to Christ? Are we receiving, have we received the gift of sanctification that frees us from the desire to live in the depths of sin? And then he reminded us the destruction that even a little bit of sin can have in our lives or in our water. Has anybody else looked at your water bottle a little differently this week? Before you took a sip, you're like, let me check the seal. And then this morning, we're going to continue and finalize this series and look at a hurdle that often impedes our faith. This hurdle is one that will keep us bound, keep us stuck, cause physical illness, and even paralyze us in hopes to hurt others. The hurdle of unforgiveness. Now, I don't want you to stop listening this morning before we even dive in. So I want to speak to those in the room that have suffered deep betrayal, hurt, or abuse. Whatever your story this morning, forgiveness is essential. But it is not forgetting. It is not validating a person's poor choices. Forgiveness is an invitation to hope, not more hurt. It does not even require reconciliation. It's an invitation to release and restoration. And though it does not require that, it does not require reconciliation with those relationships that need boundaries, and some are no longer continued at all, and that's okay. But I will also remind you that all relationships this side of heaven at some point will require forgiveness, even the best ones. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this morning we ask that you meet us here. You know every thought, you know every heart, and you know every need in this room. And I pray that nothing that comes from me this morning would be anything but by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I've prayed for everyone that would walk in this room this morning that they would know that you are all they need, that what seems impossible this morning would not be with you. Lord, meet us here, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I heard that we were going to tackle hurdles again, I remembered, and I had to chuckle, that when I was in middle school, a friend of mine invited me to be on her hurdle relay team. Now, my husband is probably laughing because I realized I probably hadn't told him this story. And my children do not get any athletic ability from me, okay? So, but we did do that, and we were invited to this big track meet, and we came home after running the hurdles and passing the baton. We came home with medals. Yes, this has been about 36 years ago or something, but can you just see me jumping over those? Can't you just see it? But listen, let me tell you, me neither now. It's simply a fond memory, and it's one that I've realized that is now more of a wall in my life than simply a difficulty or an obstacle. It's become a wall. Not possible. Not trying it would be in the ER. So, do we feel often the same way about forgiving those in our lives who have wronged us? It's more than a hurdle. It's a wall. It feels impossible. You may be thinking to yourself, Angela, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. If I forgive them, I will give them freedom to hurt me again. It will validate their behavior, and they don't deserve it. Forgiveness is a gift that I just can't give them. And for those moments you carry, I am truly sorry. I know they're painful, and I'm sorry that you have even had to face those. And this morning, this is a tough message, but one with deep hope on the other side. Forgiveness is a gift that we have all been given the opportunity to receive, and the one we certainly don't deserve. Isaiah 53:5 says to us, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." We have all been given the opportunity for forgiveness of our sins through his name, through his wounds alone, all of us simply by believing and receiving. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Ephesians 1:7. This is the foundation of our faith, the gift we are all given in Christ. He bought our redemption by his blood. His sacrifice allows for the forgiveness of our sin according to the riches of his indescribable, unfathomable faith. We, present tense, we have redemption as we say yes to him and invite him in. That's for us. If you have not received him as your Savior and you're in the room this morning, that is the most important message of forgiveness that you will hear. He died to provide forgiveness for our sins, to provide redemption when we do not deserve it and when we will never deserve it. That's what makes it the greatest gift. Before we can move on to any other kind of forgiveness, it starts there. It has to start there. Receiving this gift is available to us and is a foundation to our Christian faith. As we walk on our journey, recipients of this grace, we will be faced with opportunity and decisions to forgive as well. Now, you may feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. You guys know what I'm talking about. That kind of nudge that you give that elbow to your kids when you're like, "You hear what the pastor's saying? Be sure to listen." My son does not like to sit beside me in church for that very reason. He's like, "Just don't touch me, Mama." I'm like, "Listen, did you hear that? That was for you." Or you're trying to spur someone on to something good and that you would say, "Have the courage to step forward. Go, right?" And this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. This is what he does for us. He said, "It's your turn. It's your turn. Let's forgive." Let's take a look at scripture in Matthew 18 this morning, 21 through 35. We find the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and he asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like the king who wanted to settle accounts for his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." Guys, that's a lot of gold. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a small 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off, and the man was thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Now let's flip back a few chapters to Matthew 6, where we find Jesus giving us his Sermon on the Mount, specifically chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, where he gives us the Lord's Prayer. He's teaching us to pray, every line giving us direction as if we were a child. This prayer's even been said to should have been named the child's prayer or the disciples' prayer. And it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And it goes on to say in verse 14, "And if you forgive other people when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." My friends, this is a command for those of us that are living in Christ. It is a command, and any command he gives us, he will equip us, and we can trust that it's always for our good. He does not direct us in this way to harm us, but to heal us. This command ultimately is for our freedom. But what if we say no? What if the answer we give our Father is no? What does it look like to remain in unforgiveness? Take a look at this picture on the screen. This is a picture of kudzu. Now, I grew up calling this kudzu, but when I Googled it, they say that's the appropriate way to pronounce it. This is an ornamental plant intended for shading porches. And later in the 1930s to 50s, it was used as a crucial way to avoid soil erosion. While now it's considered a major invasive pest in the U.S., it was initially treated as a beneficial agricultural tool. It's now known as the vine that ate the South. I remember as a little girl, we would drive down Route 11, and there were sections of our little town where you could see it, and it had completely taken over. And then when we moved to Tennessee, it is everywhere. It is everywhere. So it starts out as a small plant. If you'll go to the next slide, it starts out as a plant this tiny. And it was intended for a purpose to shade and to protect. And then it becomes an invasive vine that overtakes forest and structures and anything beautiful around it. It takes over the trees by smothering them, blocking the sunlight, and creating excessive weight to the point that it'll even uproot the tree. Unforgiveness is a root of bitterness. And just like we see here, it takes over. It festers and it suffocates us both physically, emotionally, and then eventually spiritually. We become just like these trees, trapped. Physically, this root, it will make us ill. Bitterness settles in as anger and resentment. It causes us to live in a constant mode of fight or flight, leading to constant changes in our heart rate and our blood pressure and our immune response. These changes increase the effects of depression, heart disease, and diabetes. Now, not everyone that has those illnesses is a result of unforgiveness. However, for many, it is the very reason. Emotional bondage becomes another trap that we face in light of unforgiveness. We believe we're holding something over another for hurting us, causing them some sort of discomfort, vengeance, or harm, when truly we are not at all. We are only harming and hurting ourselves. It can cause us to become harsh, sarcastic, and condemning, leading to nasty, distorted thinking toward others, even those that it's not intended for. Have you ever heard the quote, "Holding on to anger and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die"? And this root of unforgiveness also affects us spiritually. It affects our spiritual life in a crippling way, hindering our relationship with God, causing us to miss His grace. Holding on to unforgiveness depletes our ability to have full peace and joy. We live in a cycle of judgment and condemnation, missing yet again the mercy our Savior desires to show us. James 2, 12 and 13 says, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Mercy triumphs over judgment. And ultimately, this bitter root, it will hinder our connection, conversation with Jesus. These effects, my friends, are soul injuries. When we hold on to unforgiveness, when we hold on to bitterness, when we hold on to grudges and to offenses, we create in ourselves soul injuries. So let's revisit our Matthew text. First, we saw Peter. You got to love Peter. First, we saw Peter asking, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister if they sin against me?" Ever ask the Lord that? How many more times, Lord? Peter says 7 times. No, replies the Lord, 70 times 7, depending on your translation. 77 times or 70 times 7. But regardless, Jesus is correcting Peter here. He's saying, stop. Stop. Forgiveness should not be limited by a number. Essentially, he's saying, as many times as it takes. Limitless forgiveness. Limitless forgiveness. Let me remind us here before we go on, we can't do this without the Lord. This is not something that's found in our own strength. He then gave a view of what the kingdom of heaven is like. A king who forgives his servants unfathomable, crippling debt. 200,000 years worth of that servant's wages. And then when the servant had the opportunity to forgive the debt of his servant, only it was 600,000 times less than the debt he was just forgiven. He refused. He refused to forgive, even in the midst of his own mercy. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." We are reminded that our Lord expects us. He expects us to forgive as he forgives, even when forgiving seems unfathomable. You may be holding that this morning. You may be holding one of those stories in your own life. But my friends, he will meet you there. He wants more for us. As we saw in the Sermon on the Mount, he repeats this command to us when he teaches us to pray. We're going to go back to the Lord's Prayer, and this morning I'm going to ask that we pray it together. We'll use debts and debtors. And listen, if we don't say the same words, it's okay. There's a few versions. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right in the middle of the prayer where he taught us to pray, the importance of forgiveness is reiterated. He's teaching us how to live here. He's teaching us how to pray. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Our release and our forgiveness matters. For if you forgive other people when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Matthew 6, 14 to 15. What would it look like today if the only forgiveness and grace you received was the same grace and forgiveness you gave others? You know the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they will never hurt me. The one we sang on the merry-go-round on the playground, but along the way, we discovered it was a lie. The good thing is we don't have to pretend it doesn't hurt, that the words don't hurt, that the pain is not real. We just don't want to hold on to the offense so it continues to hurt us over and over and more. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. What has a greater impact in our lives, the abundant grace of forgiveness God has given us, or the root of unforgiveness living in us? Forgiveness is not a condition of our salvation. Forgiveness is not a condition of our salvation, but an expectation as a result of the gift we have been given in Him. Have you searched that out lately? Do you remember all He's done for you? Do you remember the grace given to you? If the unwillingness to forgive grips us, it begs us to ask if we have fully grasped what Christ has done for us. If not, we can ask Him. He will remind us gently, and He will be our help there. This command is ultimately to our benefit because our Lord wants us to live in freedom, peace, and on the path to healing. He again will be our help through the power of His Holy Spirit, and we can simply begin by asking Him to search our hearts. Let's watch this together.
Me. Man, I know it's been a long time since we talked. I was kind of hoping you'd answer, but I understand you probably don't want to talk to me. I've just gone so far, and the things I've done, I just regret it, you know? And I know how bad I've hurt you and let you down, but Dad, I miss you. I miss how we drive around and just talk about life. And I just want to come home. But I know you've probably written me off. I can't blame you, actually. Here's the thing. It's kind of a shot in the dark, but I'm coming through town soon, and I'd really just like to see you. I know I can't just show up at the front door like I used to, but if you want to see me, just hang a small sheet out on the porch. If the sheet isn't there when I drive by, I'll keep going, and I'll try not to bother you anymore. I love you, Dad.
Thank you.
Our Lord does not ask us to forgive to hurt us. He asks us to forgive for our healing and His glory. He says, hang out your white sheet. Pull up the roots of bitterness. I have more for you. As we sing and we worship this morning to close this service, I invite you to lean into Him, to press into Him, trusting Him to meet you right where you are. No matter what the burden you carry, no matter the hurt or the hardship, He will meet you there. The altars are open, and there will be pastors in the back to pray with you. Is there something you could lay down this morning? Would you come?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.